Today on Life Talk.
You're on the potter's wheel, and every single day, the hands of God are coming in on you, and He is shaping your life as that wheel spins, as circumstances happen in your life, good, bad, or indifferent. His hands are shaping you into the image of His Son. You are His ongoing workmanship.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
You know, one of the things you almost always hear from somebody with a bad attitude is that life is against them. Somehow they're always treated unfairly and never get a fair shake. They have what we often call a chip on their shoulder. That's why in our time together today, I want to talk to you about a conquering attitude and the three things those with a conquering attitude know. We're going to see that the winning attitude we talked about last time has to do with how you view life in general, but a conquering attitude is how you view your battles in particular. Do you face your battles with a defeated, I'm a victim, loser kind of attitude? Or do you face them with a confident, faith-filled, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me kind of attitude? I believe this final message in our Shift series on attitude is going to really bless you. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, A Conquering Attitude, from the series called Shift. Now, if you were to read Romans 8, 28 through 39, here's what you would find. The blueprint for a conquering attitude. You may want to write that down. Romans 8, 28 through 39. He gives the blueprint for a conquering attitude. But I want to summarize it for you today. What was his attitude comprised of? How did he get it? How many of you would like to know how to have a conquering attitude? Well, that's about five of you. I'm kind of wondering about you. Let me ask that again. Amen. Now, let me show you the anatomy of a conquering attitude. Here's the first thing. Paul says, you got to know this to have a conquering attitude. God has decreed our victory. I want you to say that with me. God has decreed my victory. It's been decreed. Now, let me read it to you. You know this verse, but let me just read it slow. Soak this in. Listen to what he says. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Now, that's a mouthful. Now, I want you to listen to what he said. We're told here that God decided something. He's telling us in those two verses, God has decided something. He has decided that those who come to his son, Jesus Christ, will become like him. When you got saved, there was a chosen spoken over your life. He chose you. That means he decreed that you would be like his son. Listen to what it's telling us. He has decreed that no matter what God's children experience in life, good or bad, it will, all experiences will be made to serve this purpose, that we are shaped into the image of his son. He has decreed it. It is decreed. You're going to be like Jesus whether you like it or not. It's a decree. It's a decree. He chose us to be like his son. Now, if you want to know what the ultimate will of God is, that's it. He makes all things work together for the good of one ultimate purpose, that we would be formed and shaped into the image of his son, that we would be Christ-like. It's a decree. It's a decree. He chose us for this. Listen to the Message Bible. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. Well, that's good stuff.
That ought to rock your world. Because that means since he chose it, he's working to that end every day. Every single day, you're on the potter's wheel, and every single day, the hands of God are coming in on you, his prize vase or vase, depending on where you're from. He's moving in, and he is shaping your life as that wheel spins, as circumstances happen in your life, good, bad, or indifferent. His hands are shaping you into the image of his son. You are his ongoing workmanship. You are his project. And he's shaping you every day into the image of his son. He's chosen you for that. So he has decreed your victory. Now, if God decreed that all things will work together for our good, who or what can defeat us if God has decreed it? Now, Paul said, we know this. Now, I wonder if we all here today, I wonder if we really know this. He said, we know that all things work together for the good. Now, I want to suggest to you that that is part and parcel of a conquering attitude. Because if you know that he has decreed your victory, how can you have a defeated attitude? If you know he has decreed your victory and that all things are going to be made to bow to his purpose for you, then how in the world can we be negative? How in the world can we be defeated? How in the world can we lose? No, we're being told here, we are in a win-win situation. We are in a win-win situation. God has decreed that everything Satan can throw at me, or that man can do to me, or that circumstances can hand to me, will only work for my good. So good things, when I get a raise, that works for your good. Bad things, when I get fired, that's going to work for your good. In betrayals, in setbacks, in disillusionments, in discouragements, in good times and bad, bitter and sweet, no matter what comes my way, the hands of God are there to make it bow, to serve his purpose, to shape me into the image of Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I cannot lose. Say it again, I cannot lose. You say, but Pastor Jeff, this person that I believed in and was loyal to me and that I loved walked out and stabbed me in the back. Get up and keep on going, because God has grabbed that betrayal and he has said, bow to my purpose, and I'm going to shape them into the image of Jesus through that pain. I cannot lose. You cannot lose. So say with me, he's decreed my victory. Well, I want us to try that one more time. I'm going to get you preached up here in a minute. Say with me again, he's decreed my victory like you mean it.
He's decreed my victory.
There you go. Now, here's the second thing a conquering attitude knows. This is another part of the anatomy of a conquering attitude. It is knowing God is for us. He's for us. In light of all the overwhelming evidence that Paul gives in Romans 8 that is in our favor, Paul asked a question. He said, well, in light of all of this, if God is for us, now think about that. If God is for us, he's concluding based on everything he has just told us that he's decreed your victory. You can't be separated from his love. All the great things he shares with us in Romans. He said, in light of all that, clearly God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. No one can be against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? It's a rhetorical question. He means no one. Now, Paul's not saying that nobody can come against you. Who can be against us? He's not saying you're not going to get attacked, because people and devils came against him all the time, and people and devils come against you and me all the time. So he wasn't saying you can't get attacked. Here's what he's saying. Who can successfully come against us if God be fighting for us? Oh yeah, they're going to come against you. They're going to criticize you. That is human beings. They're going to make fun of you, mock you, ridicule you, criticize you, slander you. If any man walks in the will of God and serves Jesus with all of his heart, he will suffer persecution, the Bible says. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. So clearly, we're going to experience adversity. He's not saying they can't come against you. He's saying they cannot ultimately, totally, and finally, successfully come against you if God is fighting for you. They can't win and you can't lose. Now, why does this matter? Let me tell you why it matters. Because one of Satan's tactics is to try to convince us God's not on our side. That because of mistakes we've made, shortcomings, failures, stuff back there, that for some reason, the devil has convinced you that because you did what you did and you went where you went and you said what you said and you've got this history behind you, that because of that, God is not on your side, but he's maybe kind of on your side or every once in a while on your side. He's not quite sure whether or not he's going to be on your side. That's the way you think. But that's not the way he thinks. Do you know that that's the lie that Satan used against Eve all the way back in the Garden of Eden? It was his lie and his tactic was to convince her that God was not on her side. Because when you wake up and you say, God's no longer on my side, you're in trouble. You're going to slide when you think he's no longer on your side. You're going to slide if you think he's walked away from you. Because here's what he did with Eve. God had told Adam and Eve, you can have everything in this garden you want, everything in this beautiful garden. But you cannot eat of that tree, that one tree right over there. You can't eat of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day you eat of it, you will die. So they had one thing they couldn't have. And of course, the human nature, that's the one thing they wanted. But listen to how the devil approached her. He came to her and he said, Eve, this death thing that if you eat of that tree, this death thing, that's a lie. You'll not die. Now look at the way he works this. Look at the way he works this in Genesis 3:5. God knows very well that the instant you eat it, you will become like him, for your eyes will be open. You will be able to distinguish good from evil. Now notice the phraseology. Look at what he's saying. God knows. In other words, Eve, he knows something he's kept from you. And he's kept it from you because he doesn't want you to be like him. The insinuation is, Eve, he's keeping you from a blessing. He doesn't want what's best for you. He's threatened by you if you eat that tree. How stupid is that? But you see, he's undermining the character of God here and God's intent towards Adam and Eve. And he's misrepresenting God, trying to convince her that God's no longer really, he's not really with her. Because he didn't want the best for her. The best would be to eat of that tree. He's telling her that God has an unjust motive for telling them not to eat of the tree or they will die. It's not for their good that he has forbidden the tree from them, but in order to exclude them from a blessing to be like him.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Oh, the devil, he's a liar. How do you know the devil's lying if he's talking? He cannot tell the truth. And I want you to notice right here, here's Eve, she's listening to him. And let me just also say, I don't believe that it was a snake that, you know, crawled up to her and kind of stood up like a king cobra would do. And I don't think he's looking at her in the eye like a snake. I think the verbiage in Genesis means that the devil was serpent-like. He was snake-like. Snakes have gotten a bad rap because of Genesis. There's only four poisonous ones in Texas. Any of the others, let them live. They eat the rats. But that's free. I didn't mean to say that. I'm just letting you know that. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I don't believe that a snake was talking to her. I believe Genesis is telling he was serpent-like, sneaky, crafty, sly, cunning. and he's putting in her brain thoughts about God that were a lie. He doesn't want the best for you. He's not really for you. He is really afraid that if you eat that tree, you're going to be like him. So Eve, he is keeping from you a great blessing. And she believed the lie, doubted the character of God, and fell in defeat. And this is why the belief that God is for you is so important to victory. God is pulling for you. Can I just tell you the truth? If God be for us, he's telling us God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He's pulling for you. God is on your side. He wants you to win. He wants you to win. He wants you to win. He is pulling for you. You are his child. You are his born again child of God, washed in the blood of his son. He is totally and completely for you. And nothing has been held back that can lead you into victory. Not one thing. He hasn't kept one thing from you, even the Holy Ghost, to help you win. He put the Holy Ghost inside of you to pray for you in a way that you can't pray for yourself. And in the same way, listen to Romans, same chapter, same great chapter, in the same way. You want to know how much God's fighting for you? In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. Did you hear those words? The Holy Spirit helps us. If he's not for me, why would he be helping me? He's for me. The Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we ought to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling it cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Ghost down inside of you knows the will of God for you and is praying for you all the time, interceding for you. Why? Because God is for you and not against you. He's pulling for you. Forget your history. Your history is washed in the blood of the Lamb. God doesn't see it. Let it go. What about your history? We've all got a history. But that history has been washed away. It has been removed as far as the east is from the west. Man, I'm about to preach today. Let me tell you, listen to me carefully. You guys do this to me. I tell myself I'm going to be real distinguished and sit up here and be conversational. And then this happens to me. Because I get moved with truth. Truth moves me. The Word of God moves me. And I know that it moves you. Here you've got the Holy Spirit praying for you, God pulling for you. He that spared not his own son, but gave him for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? God has withheld nothing in his attempt to see us through to victory. He is for us. He's for you. He's for you totally. So say with me, he's decreed my victory. And he is for me. God is for you. Now a final key in Paul's conquering attitude is in his unfailing trust that God loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. Now, those of us who were raised in the Protestant work ethic, we have a really hard time removing our own actions from being loved or not loved. We have a really hard time with that. I'm loved if I do this right. If I don't do it right, I'm not loved. Love is conditional to a lot of people. They cannot believe that if they fail, they're still loved. If they mess up, they're still loved. Oh, no, I got to go do penance, and I got to go do a million things right for the one thing I did wrong, or I'm not going to be loved anymore. Let me tell you something. God loves you unconditionally in the middle of your failure, in the middle of your mistake. He loves you unconditionally. Paul says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Can anything, a failure, a mistake, a shortcoming, a blooper, can anything ever separate us from his love? The answer is no. Then listen to what he says next. And he gets right to the root of the problem. He says, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death. Do you get it? He's saying, if I'm surrounded by adverse circumstances that are really hard, does that mean that God doesn't love me? As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. He says, no. Hard times don't mean he no longer loves me. Despite all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, this exposes another standard lie of the devil. And let me hit it quick. That when we go through trials, tribulation, and troubles, when we go through hell on earth, when people walk away and do us wrong, or we lose a job, or we get into a wreck on the highway, or we walk out and there's a flat tire and the kids are going nuts and we can't pay the bills and we're between a rock and a hard place. And does that give me the message that God doesn't really love me? Does that mean he doesn't love me? When things don't go your way, answers to prayer seem to tarry, that this somehow places God's love in doubt? Nope. A conquering attitude says nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. Not personal mistakes and failures, not letdowns and betrayals, not faulty friends or disloyal brethren. Hard times, says Paul, have nothing at all to do with whether or not Jesus loves us. And I want you to know that today. Some of you are going through a really tough time. My daughter couldn't even be here today because we lost Kathy 9 months ago. I went to her grave yesterday and I put my hand on her tombstone, and I said, sweetie, we miss you. We love you. You will always be remembered. I had to get up and walk away. But listen, have I for a second thought, because of that, he doesn't love me? Or has Julia thought that, or Jeremy? No, no, no. I'm going to talk to you. Listen, let me finish this out strong. Are you ready? His love is manifested in his decree that everything, including pain you experience, is going to be made to bow to his purpose for you. And do you know what? It's the struggles that make us strong. You know, it's a fact. Let me close with this illustration. Listen to this. It's a known fact that a forest that has been protected, where the trees have grown in pristine condition and pristine circumstances, pristine environment, it is a known fact that those trees experiencing a storm will all fall, will all be uprooted, and they will all be blown away. You know why? Because it is adversity that causes trees to put down deep roots. It is adversity that causes trees to protect themselves by putting roots deeper and stronger than they ever would have had before. It is adversity that really helps them and does not hurt them, aids them and does not hinder them. It is adversity. You show me a place where they protected the trees from wind and storm and trouble, and those trees are in big trouble. If they ever experience a storm, they will never make it. But a forest constantly tested by adversity will grow and endure due to the deep roots the trees have put down when the harsh winds were blowing. What am I saying here? Here's what I'm saying. Jesus loves you too much to keep you from all trouble. Because if he prevented this and prevented that and stopped this and stopped that and didn't let you hurt and didn't let you cry and didn't let you experience the toughness of life, your roots are shallow, tender, fragile, and you won't make it through a storm. No, his love is shown by what he walks you through. And what he graces you to experience, and what he carries you through, the valleys of the shadow. That psalm is not just for people dying, it's for people living. Yea, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Like Andre Crouch said, if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in his word could do. Come on, everybody. Say with me, he's decreed my victory. He is for me. That's the anatomy of a conquering attitude.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.